Good morning, everyone. As has been announced, Elliot is under the weather today. In fact, he sent me a text last Thursday. He said, "I think I will be good to preach Sunday, but I'm battling a touch of sinus trouble. I'll keep you up to date how I'm going. But worst case scenario, Zach will be with the teens in Missouri, and you are emergency backup preacher." In other words, if we can't get anybody else to preach, that falls on your shoulders. So I texted him back and said, "Okay, thanks for the heads up. I have been called worse." And he replies, "I meant to say first choice backup." So be advised, I am first choice backup preacher this morning. I really thought that he would be able to speak this morning, and he thought so too, but yesterday morning things began to take a turn to the south, and was advised yesterday afternoon that he wasn't going to be able to make it. So this morning I'd like to spend some time with you, and my purpose this morning is to try to help you to look forward to the completion of your future challenges spiritually. I want you to be able to look forward to those future challenges spiritually with greater anticipation and with excitement. That is what I hope to accomplish. Now, we all have challenges every day of our lives. Every day there's something that comes up, and a lot of times these are routine challenges. And with the completion of those, there is at least a little bit of self-gratification, knowing that we have gotten that job completed. For example, those of you who have children, it's quite an accomplishment to get those kids out of bed, to get them fed, to get them dressed, and to get them to school on time. It's been some 35 years since we've had children in grade school and have gone through that daily hassle of getting that accomplished. Occasionally, Linda and I will visit our daughter and family in Searcy, Arkansas, and they have children of those ages. And it makes me nervous just watching them get up, get the kids out of bed, get them set down at the table, get them to fed, while mom's making sandwiches of different kinds and putting in chips and grapes and everything, getting their lunches prepared so she can put it and send them out the door. And it's just a rush, 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 rush. And they go out. And when that happens, I know mom is saying, "Done it again." It's sometimes a challenge for us just to get on work on time, to be there. And some of us may be able to brag, you know, an employee for 30 years and have never been late. And if so, you know, congratulations. But that takes effort. And when we do that, we feel a little bit of satisfaction on having to accomplish that. Getting through that day's work sometimes is quite a challenge. Things don't go like we planned. We already have a workload that's stacked up on our desk to accomplish that has to be done before the day is over. And as we begin to work through that stack, other things pop up that are of emergency nature that have to be done, and we have to shuffle those in with everything. And when the day is over, we walk out of our place of business and we say, "Man, I'm glad this day's over." And yet we still have that little feeling of, "But I made it. I got it done, and I feel good about that." At the end of the day, when everyone's home, we again have that problem. Those who have children, we got to get them fed. We got to make sure they do their homework. We got to get them cleaned up and ready for bed, in bed in time for them to get their rest. And mother's got to get up to get the kitchen all cleaned up. And everything's got to be done before the day is over. And we finally lay our pillow on our heads on the pillow at night, and we did it. Another day has gone by successfully. There are bigger tasks that give us more rewards. I can only imagine what some of you women feel like when you sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and everything is fully and properly prepared. Hours and hours of baking pies, fixing this, fixing that, making the salad, getting the turkey all put in the oven and baste just right so it comes out at the right time, and the mashed potatoes and the sweet potatoes and the cranberry salad and everything else that goes with it, the hot rolls, to come out just at the right time so that everyone sits down, everything is warm, and you look at that beautifully spread Thanksgiving table, and mom or grandmom, whoever has been responsible for preparing that meal, has got to say, did it again. Yeah. Wow. What a challenge, and yet what a great feeling of satisfaction. There seems to be this axiom that the longer we work at a task, the harder we work at a task, and the more hurdles we jump over to get that task completed, the greater the feeling of accomplishment when it's done. I can remember years ago, and I guess as long as I live, I'll always remember the feeling. When I was a youth, we had to ride a school bus about 45 minutes in the morning and the afternoon. And at the end of the school year, the last day of school, when I would come home and step off of that school bus and think, this year's over. Yeah. What a feeling of freedom and gratification knowing I've got another year of school behind me and I've got 3 months of summer to enjoy before we have to go back to school again. Some of you can remember that. And if you remember that feeling, you might understand the feeling that Linda and I have on the last day of tax season. Every year. Been doing this for 45 years. April the 15th is a bad day. And yet all of these people come in, a lot of them bringing their stuff in late, and we have all of this pressure working all hours of the night, 7 days a week after we get home from church, back to the office. And every year it's that same pressure, pressure, pressure. And when that last day is over, we get in the car and we look at each other. Did it again. What a feeling of satisfaction. And some of you may have had that satisfaction when you graduated from high school. You know, you think, now that I'm a senior, the day is coming. Won't have to enter these doors ever again. And you walk across that stage on graduation night and you get that diploma and you think, wow, I did it. And you feel great about it. All of those hours of study and all the homework and all of the pressure and all of the tests and all of those things that you have gone through are behind you, and you know that you are now a graduate, and you take that diploma with pride and you look at it and you think, boy, it's over and I am so happy. That diploma means so much for all that you've accomplished. Now, I don't know, but I've heard that not all of us got those diplomas. There are some, I'm told, that like to play football so much that that's all school's about, and they didn't really earn that diploma, but they got on Amazon and was able to get one through Amazon. You can get anything there. Now, that's just a rumor, right, Brian Minton? May not be true. May not be true. But those of us who earned it are glad to get it behind us. And those of us who may have been sports-minded and have accomplished those great moments of honor, maybe going to All-State, winning All-State, or All-Conference, or some other comparable honor, when you get that honor placed upon you and it's over, you look back and think all those cuts and those bruises, all of those 100-degree days we were out there practicing on the football field, all the cuts and the bruises and the blood that was spilled and the gallons of sweat that came over our body, all of that doesn't mean anything anymore, because now we are through it and we are bestowed this honor and our hearts are just elated with that. Some of you who are builders, build things, do you know what it's like to have a project and complete it and to drive that last nail in that board or whatever it is and to look back and look at your work and say, boy, this is great. I know that Tori has done extensive work on his home, overhauling the bathroom, the kitchen, and whatnot. And Tori's a busy man, and I can only imagine when he gets that project done after several weeks that he can sit back and say, I did it, and boy, am I glad. It's over. We all do that when we build things or when we have things of that nature. A few years ago, we decided that we needed a storage building. And so we built a 12 by 20 storage building. I had my son-in-law and a friend of his come, and they did the framework for the floor and the walls. And the rest of it, Linda and I completed. We put on the rafters. We put on the vinyl siding. We decked the roof. We put on the composition shingles. We put in the walk-in door. We put in an overhead door. Got it all finished. Now, it took us about 9 months. Two old people who don't know anything about carpentry, tackling a job that they should never have even tried. But you know, when we got that sucker done, we said back and boy, it's done. And now we can enjoy it. A feeling of satisfaction that we seldom experience. The longer you take, the harder you work, the more problems you encounter, the greater you feel when it's done. And some projects take a long, long time. I recently spoke to an individual who spent 7 years building an airplane. It's an RV model, and they're a great little airplane. And he was so proud of himself. He loved to fly it, and after he got it all put together, he enjoyed it flying it so much he didn't have it painted yet. But that long day by day putting together after he worked his ordinary job had to bring him a lot of satisfaction. And I can only imagine the satisfaction that you women have when that baby is born. Having carried that child for all of that time, going through all the discomfort and all that has got to be a part of that process, and yet when that child comes after all that labor and everything else, you've got to just think, glory, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing has just happened. And I think of poor Liz, and when that baby boy is born, I know that she and Kobe are just going to be elated and say, it's here, it's done, it's over, now we have a child to raise. What a feeling that's got to be. What has been your most rewarding accomplishment that's taken you a long time to finish and that's given you such joy that you just want to jump up and down? I can imagine what Solomon felt after 7 years of getting that temple built. Hundreds and hundreds of people and choices and all of the terrific skill. And I can just imagine what he felt when he looked at that and said, boy, what has been done now for the Lord? And the feeling of gratification. What's been your great challenge that you have successfully completed? Maybe the biggest one of all. I'm not sure about mine, but if I had to choose, I think it might very well be the completion and successful taking of the CPA exam. Most of you probably don't have an idea of what that's like. But my goal, after I had taught for about 7 years, was to change the course of my occupation and become a CPA. I knew nothing about accounting. I'd never been in an accounting office. Knew nothing about income tax. Once a year, I would go to Brother Wilson Duncan in Stillwater while we were going to college over there, and he would do my income tax. Other than that, I had no contact with accounting whatsoever. But in my mind, I wanted to become a CPA. And that took about 6 or 7 years from the time I decided to do that. Going back to school and getting a degree in something I knew nothing about, then beginning to work, and then taking a couple years to pass the exam. Those of you who may not know, only about 7% passed the CPA exam the first time. Now, I don't know whether David Martin or Stephanie Price finished the first time or not. Guys, if you did, I don't want to know it, okay? I know two people who did, and I don't like them. You know, so. But the way you do this, most of us, the way we do it, you pass one part, and then you go back and you take what's left and try to focus on one of those parts, and part by part, you get it finished. And that's the way I had to do it. So I finished the accounting part. It's a 4-day test. I finished the accounting part, which is two of the big parts. It's a full day. And then I went back and I passed the tax part, and then I passed the auditing part, and finally the business law part. Now, these tests are given every 6 months. So after, and I was working at the time with the firm in Stillwater with Brother Wilson Duncan and his group. And so after tax season, I would take 2 weeks off and try to get ready for the May exam. That means I had to put all of my fun things aside. All day long, I would lock myself in a little office that I had, and I would take past exams, and I would study, and I would review, and I would do my best to try to get every advantage on passing the exam. Kids would come home after school. We would eat night. I'd go and slam the door, lock myself in, and study some more. And I would do this for 2 weeks before each of those additional three exams that I took. Finally, after taking the last section of business law, having passed the other parts bit by bit, the day came when the letters were supposed to come out. I called the post office. We live west of Cushing, and kids went to school at Ripley. We were in the Ripley post office area, little bitty town, little bitty post office. I called them and said, hold the mail, because I wanted to pick it up that morning to see whether or not I passed. And so I drove there. I was waiting when they opened up. I went inside and said, can I have my mail? And sure enough, there was the letter. I went out to the car, closed the door, and opened it up. And there was my score. Finally, I had passed all the parts. And I was so elated and so thrilled, I just had to say, yay! By myself, I couldn't contain it, because I had finally accomplished that which had been such a long, drawn-out, hard process. If you can relate to that, and I think you can, my question is now this. If we can get that much satisfaction, that much gratification from achieving our earthly goals, imagine how much joy we should get from achieving our spiritual accomplishments. What is the most important challenge that we have in life? Our most important challenge in life is to die as a Christian. To die as a Christian. As Linda and I were leaving Searcy, Arkansas yesterday after a short visit with our family there, there was a church and there was a sign out front that said, to die as a Christian, you have to live as a Christian. And that is all encompassing in our most important goal. That will take the most time. That will take our hardest efforts. That will take jumping over the most complicated hurdles and problems that confront us in that travel. And yet, that's where we need to place our most important emphasis, because that's going to bring us the most important joy. I'd like to read from John, the 19th chapter, what is said about Christ as he died, accomplishing his purpose on earth. It says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus says, I am thirsty. And they gave him wine vinegar on a sponge, lifted it up to him, and they put it on his lips. And then Jesus said, it is finished. Did you ever stop and think why he said that? Why didn't he just stop with what he'd said a little before? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wouldn't that have been an appropriate ending? But he said, it is finished. And you wonder what he was thinking when he said that. What was his mind? And how did he say it? Did he say, it is finished? I believe that when Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying that with as much strength and with much excitement as his physical body would humanly allow. I think that if his hands had not been nailed to the cross and had been free, he would have said, it is finished. And as he looked back and thought back about what he had accomplished, he had to be proud, knowing with God's help, he had done something that no mortal man could accomplish. He had brought salvation to all mankind. And his task and his challenge was greater than any challenge that anyone had ever experienced who had walked on the face of the earth. And I think as he made those final statements before he died, I think he probably thought back at all of those hurdles that he had to jump. Of all the accusations and the times that the Jewish leaders tried to trick him some way so they could stop his popularity. Of the disgrace that people placed upon him when they spit on him. And all of the pain and agony that he endured from the beatings and the strenuous tasks they placed on him in carrying the cross and all those things. And I just wonder, as Jesus was there tied to that post, as they beat him with those horrible whip, if he was saying, I've only got 14 more to go. Now only 13 more to go. Counting down, knowing that eventually it would be over. And when it is finished, all of that would be worth it. Yes, he endured a lot. And perhaps he also thought about those good things when those who did believe in him followed him, when disciples indicated, yes, we understand, Lord, and Lord, help us to be like you are. Explain it to us. Give us strength, Lord. We're relying on you. Those had to be also going through his mind. I can just try to imagine what great satisfaction that he must have felt when he said that. I've done it. It's over. And now I can go back home and be with my Father. I sense the same kind of gratification in the mind of Paul when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Paul was saying, it's about over. And I've done it. Yes, I've been beaten many times. I've been shipwrecked many times. I've been left to die. I've endured all kinds of conflicts, but it's all worth it. And now it's about over. Can we finish with that same feeling of excitement when we have breathed our last breath? Can we, you all remember what it was like when you were baptized? You remember when you came up from the waters of baptism and you thought, how exciting. I'm now pure. My life is whole. God loves me. I am his child. And that was such a great feeling. I think all of us remember that. Can we not finish with that same feeling of excitement? Each day of our lives, I think we need to look forward to the day that we breathe our last breath and anticipate how great it's going to be to say, it's finished. And now, as Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has given him. There is power in the blood that Jesus has given us because he finished the task successfully. If you need our prayers or for any reason need to come forward this morning, we'd invite you to do that as we stand together and sing.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you our evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power. Wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Wonder-working power in the flesh, just blood of the